Marco.
Good morning. How are you? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I hope I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're waiting for another person to come on.
Okay.
I'm going to follow you today, and I'm going to get a cap. I'm sure it's some kind of cap, but it's,
Anna.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hi.
You need to get to the bottom. You will see any desk.
I saw it. Right here. Here. Okay. Okay.
And then scroll down to shovel.
Oh, thank you.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoa. Anna Bekoa, Gedula Chimincha, Tati Tera. Alapetimo Yutat Sadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagbenu Taharein. No ra kufreshayan suntet nun na gibor dorshe hudcha kivavat shamren nun gimodalet yutkashin barchem tacharem rachame sitkacha Tamid Gamlem Betet Reish Tzaditav Kimmel Chasin Kadosh Birov Tuka Nael Adatah Het Kufbet Tet Nunayan Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushata. The letters of the month of Sivan. The Reish that created the planet Kohav, which is the planet Mercury. And the Zion that created the constellation Teumim, the twins. Together, Reish and Zion have a gematria of 207. And 207 is the gematria of many words in Hebrew, one of which is exactly the two letters. Reish and Zion spell the word secrets, Raz, gematria 207. It also is the gematria of the phrase Adon Olam, master of the universe. It's also the gematria of the Ein Sof, the endless world. And it's also the gematria of the word or, meaning a light in Hebrew. Shavatenu kabel ushma tziakatenu yodea talumo shenkufav tzadiyuta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. Now we need to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation. And we utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei. Adonai Yohei Wahei. El Rachum Vechanun. Erech Apayim. Rav Chesed Ve'emet. Notzer Chesed La'alafim. Notzer Awon Wafesha. V'chata'a v'nake. We're now going to connect to the energy of the year 5777, known as the year of the goat. There are two verses that connect to this energy. And the first one that we study is Lamentations chapter 3, 52. Tzod Sadoni Katsipor Oyevai Hinam. When we take the first letter of these five words, we're able to parse it into three Hebrew words, Tzatz Ki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these five words, we're able to permute them into two Hebrew words, Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to the energy of the goat is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. And this verse has the name of the year, Tafshinai and Zion, concealed within it. And the letters of this name are separated by seven letters each within this verse. Kim ba Adonai yo hey wa hey Elohechem tadibaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. We're now going to connect to the energy of the year of the pause, the year 5776. There are also two years or two verses that connect to this particular year. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu lehavshi et kol ha'olot v'yehasku acheichem ha'levim. Ad kilod hamlacha, v'ad yitkachu hakohanim, ki halivim yishrei levav, lehitkadesh mehakohanim. There are 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letters of each word, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei, La La Hei, Wa Wa Wa, Yo La Yo Wa La Me, Hey Hey Hey, A Ka A, Re Ka Ha. The second verse that connects to this energy of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu ba Adonai Yohei Wahei Ade Ad Kibia Yohei Adonai Yohei Wahei Tzur Olamim. The year 5775, the year of swallowing death forever, there are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Job, chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni, lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second verse that we study connecting to this energy of swallowing death is 1 Samuel, chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, Udu, Nikol Hamachavo Yia, Asher Yitchabe Sham Wishavten, Eli El Nachon, והלכתי איתכם, וחיי אם ישנו, בארץ וחיפשתי אותו בכל אלפי יהודה. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayo. The year 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East. We're now connecting to the year 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakan tachta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu. Bnei Avla l'anoto kasher barishona. We're now going to connect to the Zohar, to Parasha Yitro, Pasuk 29. The energy of this Pasuk is that of certainty. And we'll start with L'shem Yehu. Hashem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bit Hilu Urchimu Hilu Hilu Urchimu Liyakta Lishem Yud He Bavav He Bihuda Shalim Bishem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vahino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konanei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konaneihu. Rabbi Abba Amar Vekama Atar Tanenan Dekutcha Berichu Koma Biaved Leela Witata Kolaihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Veleilach mila v'alma divaye barnash v'dach yaleya mineya ulan haka v'ya kalana dehakolu ovada dikshot yinun v'kola itzterit v'alma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Sadiqim. The tzaddikim who chose to leave this particular day, the third of Sivan, which is the start of the 3 days of preparation for Shavuot, for the gift of the Torah. Rabbi Ovadia Bar Tenura, Rabbi Yosef Ergas, Rabbi Yaakov Shimshon of Shiptivka, Rabbi Yisrael Tzvi, Rabbi Eliyahu Monk of Paris, and Rabbi Chaim Yitzhak Korb. And is our normal pattern on Sundays, when we normally do not have an evening class, we are also going to say the names of the tzaddikim who leave tonight and tomorrow, which is the fourth of Sivan. Brother. Rabbi Yeshaya Naftali Hertz of Dinov, and Rabbi Abraham Wolf. And the fourth of Sivan is the second of the 3 days of preparation for the gift of the Torah, the night of Shavuot. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. And today's class can be found on the unique astrological times link, which is found underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage, or if you are using your cell phone, you'll find it at the bottom of the page. And when that link opens up, scroll down to where it says Shavuot. It's after Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And the link we are going to start to study today is called Immortality and Mount Sinai. Does anybody have any questions before we begin? Shavuot is immortality. What does that mean? We're going to discuss. But it needs to be said more often than it is said. It needs to be understood clearly. And it needs to be taken into people's lives. What is recorded here initially is an article, a speech, and a sermon, or all three, by Rabbi Philip Berg, that was published in a blog written by the Kabbalah Learning Center and Billy Phillips, one of its important students. Before my entry into the world of Kabbalah in 1962, this is coming from Rabbi Berg, I was a traditional observant Jew. I observed the Jewish holiday known as Shavuot in the Orthodox manner. This holiday, which commemorates the giving of the Esser Dibrot, the Ten Utterances, required that we study biblical or Talmudic text all night until dawn, at which time we would pray and then go to sleep. This was the way I had observed Shavuot from the age when I was first capable of staying awake all night. As I understood then, it was customary to observe this holiday in commemoration of the event on Mount Sinai. The reason for studying was to display our connection to the event, and that was all there was to it. It was a traditional observance with no particular personal meaning for me. My commentary. There are many Orthodox manners of praying and celebrating Shavuot. Many of these include staying up all night on the night of Shavuot. To my knowledge, only the Kabbalistic minhag custom and the Sephardic Minhag utilizes the Zohar discussion about the crowns of the Shekhinah. The crowns of the Shekhinah are two-letter Hebrew sequences that come from each book of the Tanakh. As we read on, we will become more familiar to us. The reader may then imagine how shocked and confused Rabbi Berg was when I experienced my first Kabbalistic Shavuot with my master, Rabbi Yehuda Brandwein. We seemed to be practicing and observing the holiday just as I had since childhood. It was truly a revelation to me, however, to learn the why of the event. This was the explanation of the revelation event and what it was meant to do for me today, 3,400 years later. I could not believe my ears. My master first reminded me that anyone who referred to this holiday as the commemoration of the giving of the Esser Divrot or the initiation of a new religion, specifically Judaism, was mistaken. Furthermore, he continued, the entire tradition omitted the most significant aspect. When I heard him say this, I was trembling. What had I and all of the Jewish world throughout the millenniums missed? I had been steeped in the religious observance of this event and believed I had been taught all there was to know about the Esser Divrot. First, Rabbi Brandwein began, never again refer to the event as the Lord's gift of the Ten Utterances. There was no event that signified commandments. My commentary. I am taking an aside and explain what is not being said about the concept of commandments. A command is the translation of the word mitzvah. In Hebrew, the word mitzvah, spelled mem sadi vav hey, has two shorashim, two roots. One is command, sadi vav, and this leaves the letters that spell the word ma, which translates as what. This teaches us that mitzvah can be translated as what is command. This is teaching us that the other shorash is more accurate and that the shorash is not command. The second shorash is mem tzadi, which means attached. The letters that are left are the vav and the he, which is a component of the Creator's name, representing the lower worlds. Thus, the real meaning of mitzvah is attaching to Hashem. There is another connection through the Hebrew letters, using the Akbash method of letter substitution. The mem becomes a yud, and the tzadi becomes a hey. Thus, mitzvah becomes Hashem's name, yud hey, vav hey. The Kabbalah explains that when someone accepts a command from someone, even if it is the Creator, they become an effect and lose the opportunity to be a cause. Being a cause is one explanation of the purpose of creation. Upon hearing these words, Rabbi Berg might have said, goodbye, I really do not want to hear anything more. And unfortunately, many religious people will say that. But my master had a reputation as a rabbi, a scholar, and a Kabbalist, so I stayed. He continued by reciting something I faintly recalled from the Talmud, the statement that what happened on Mount Sinai was the revelation of the Ten Utterances. Why, I wondered, would the Talmud use the word utterances? Most of the world considered the revelation on Mount Sinai to be the revelation of the Ten Commandments, thus v'shalom. Every moviegoer is familiar with the spectacular movie, The Ten Commandments, directed by Cecil B. DeMille. He literally immortalized the awareness of the revelation incident. Upon learning that the event on Mount Sinai involved not commandments, but utterances, however, I asked my master how such a misunderstanding had emerged. Why had this mistaken interpretation been permitted to stretch out over millennia and to harm all of the people who learned that it is a commandment? The answer was shocking. After all of Rabbi Berg's years in rabbinical study, my master's response was a complete deviation as to the methodology used in approaching the more important events in Scripture. My teacher explained to me that behind every misunderstanding that emerged from the significant event of Revelation lay the sinister hand of the Satan. And it was his continued presence that perpetuated this gross distortion. The Satan places great emphasis on maintaining this mistaken interpretation. My master explained, the Satan was familiar with the time of Revelation and the ten utterances, but the true purpose of the revelation, said my master, could be summed up in one word, immortality, eternal life. I am adding, this understanding must be internalized. Immortality is the most important essence of the Torah. Every other energy and every other essence that comes from the Torah pales in significance to immortality. One must reach certainty in immortality to manifest the true energy of the Eser Dibrot, or the Ten Utterances. As we will see, on Shavuot we receive the energy of immortality, provided we have cleansed ourselves and connected to certainty during the period of the counting of the Omer. Recalling this crucial new understanding of the connection between Shavuot and immortality, Karen Berg and Rabbi Berg decided to establish this long-forgotten tenet that belonged to all of mankind. The Mount Sinai Revelation Experience. We gave the attendees a mini experience of immortality by guaranteeing them that by fulfilling the requirements outlined by the Zohar and by Rav Isaac Luria, they could enjoy the next 4 to 5 months without fear of death. This concept was too much for many, including some who had taken formal classes at the center. Many close friends of the center warned us that this guarantee was stretching our luck too far, but Karen and I were determined. If Kabbalah is indeed the solution and salvation for all of humankind, we are going to ride it for all it's worth. The beauty of Kabbalah is that regardless of what one's religion may be, Kabbalistic teachings can rid life of chaos. That's a very important understanding. Whether you think there is a God, whether you're an atheist, an agnostic, a Christian, a Muslim, a Hindu, you study Zen, you follow Nobody or you follow all philosophers. You can rid your life of chaos by staying up on the night of Shavuot and following the Kabbalistic minhag, the Kabbalistic custom. You can rid your life of chaos until at least Rosh Hashanah. And there are some Kabbalists who teach that it's until this coming Pesach, which is 11 months away. My written commentary. Throughout human history, one person's attitude that they are right and the other guy is wrong has led to wars and chaos. Even today, most religious Jews learn from their rabbis that the other religions are wrong and serve some form of idol. What Rabbi Berg is saying in the above statement, that even if someone is serving an idol, which should imply and manifest a chaotic effect, that will not happen if one stays up the night of Shavuot and studies the Torah. It is too long to explain this in this study. Later on, Shavuot, if one will remind me, we will explain it and how this actually works. And this particular year, unfortunately, there were two classes missed that would have allowed us to explain this. Perhaps next year there will be no classes missed. But our pattern has been, and this was taught to me by Rabbi Berg, the pattern is if there's going to be a tremendous amount of light revealed, the number of people attending that class declines. Continuing to read. The revelation of the utterances. The understanding of the true significance of what occurred on Mount Sinai is of great import. Once you turn on this understanding, it increases the brightness, and more of the true meaning of this event is revealed. In order for the process of mortality to be reversed, every single one of the components must be prepared in order to realize the whole. Additionally, the process must occur in harmony with the cosmic calendar. Only in this way can the energy for immortality be released at the appropriate time, with the right consciousness. Each and every year, the right moment comes around. And this is the significance of the revelation. And I am adding, this is the significance of the holiday of Shavuot. And my unwritten comment, you must do the right action at the right time, in the right location, with the right kavanah, the right intention. And that's what takes place in Kabbalistic minyans. That is what takes place in what we do all night on Shavuot. Continuing to read. Yes, the immortality energy is present within the light. With the right meditations and the complete wisdom of Kabbalah, people are allowed to tap into the light's awesome energy, drawing it into their bodies, meaning its enemy, mortality energy. The life force is capable of completely eliminating mortality, as if it had never been there. Just as the light bulb eliminates darkness from a room when the switch is turned on. The removal of the mortality influence. The mortality influences goes deep. Ask anyone. This is an unwritten commentary. Ask anyone. Do you have to die? The question is never asked. Everyone expects to die. But it does not have to happen. And death means more than the loss of physical life, although that is the most important. It also means the death of a business, the death of a relationship, the death of losing money, the death of a cycle in life, a cycle in nature. All of these forms, because there's no movement in the Creator. There's only immortality. There's only serenity. There's only sharing in the Creator. And that's what we can achieve, but not overnight. We have to do it by studying Kabbalah and participating in each of the holidays and receiving the energy that each holiday prepares for us. Continuing to read. The mortality influences go deep. Mortality at the time of the Garden of Eden penetrated to the genetic level. Two distinct stages are required for its removal. The first is for us to become prepared for the transformation. To cease doubting, we must leave our cynicism and show me egos behind and change over to certainty consciousness. And after this, we must allow ourselves to receive the radical metaphysical alteration that we undergo when we truly open ourselves to Kabbalah energy. We must, of our own free will, choose immortality. And I am adding, please read the above paragraph again and again and again, 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 until you own the desire to receive immortality. Not questioning, not doubting that that energy can be received, but knowing that it can be and will be received by staying up all night on Shavuot and participating in our community service, our community study. Our community will support receiving the light of immortality. Continuing to read. The Kabbalah and science, each in their own way and using its own vocabulary, are beginning to explain mortality as a gene and/or space in that gene. The revelation at Mount Sinai each and every year returns our gene structure to what it was in Adam prior to the eating from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. That's an amazing revelation. To realize that our genes, that science says, don't really change except slowly by mutation. Whereas Kabbalah says genes change and have changed dramatically from the sin of the eating from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Eventually, as science has done in many other areas, they will catch up in this area as well. The mistake of Mount Sinai. When my master discussed the revelation on Mount Sinai, he said that soon the circumstances would appear in which I would receive my confirmation that immortality was real. I felt that he was referring to what Karen Berg and Rabbi Berg had established as the Mount Sinai revelation experience. By the late 1970s, these gatherings included scholars who were Kabbalah educated and initiated. Although the conferences were open to all who could raise their consciousness to the level of acceptance of immortality. Many of the established Jewish communities were opposed to linking this event to Shavuot. They asked that we designate the event as the giving of the Ten Utterances and that we omit the word immortality. When I indicated that this event was less my own idea, but instead embodied conclusions reached by the Zohar, the hostility became still more intense. However, I knew that there was no turning back for the traditional methods of observation of this holiday ignored the Zohar. My master believed, and I believe, that dogmatic form of religion was never the intent of the revelation. Neither was the revelation intended as an event in which the Jewish people became a nation. The purpose of the revelation was instead to restore the universe to an orderly, structured nature, a world where the life force's law, as it existed before Adam, to any rational mind, this new approach was exactly what people wanted and what people needed. Why would this interpretation of the revelation bring down the terrible wrath of the Jewish establishment and the hostility between Jews, only seen during the destruction of the temples? Politely, hatred for no reason. Politely, Lashon Hara. This is even more incomprehensible to me when I consider that immortality is a concept accepted within all the major religions. My commentary. The various religions each have an agenda regarding immortality. None of these expected agendas have the idea that this immortality can come in a natural, normal, medical technology advancement. This may not happen this way, yet it may happen this way. And this is the reason the major religious establishments do not accept the teachings of Kabbalah. They know immortality will happen. They just want it to be in a miraculous sound and light show method, a natural, normal medical technology, or even a normal herbal path is not acceptable to these people. Yet each one of us needs to make a choice for ourselves. Do you want the light show? Do you want the miraculous, overwhelming idea of the miracles? Or do you just want to go step by step and cure all diseases so that no longer will there be a disease in the world? Time travel. In our day-to-day lives, a strange paradox exists. Although people are consumed by death consciousness, they are at the same time engaged in an incredible denial of death. It's as if life and death have been reversed. For example, there is rarely an adult who has not been asked to purchase life insurance so as to provide for his or her dependent children in the event of the death the provider. Ever the questioner, I have wondered, why do the insurance companies call this life insurance when its proper name should be death insurance? Inasmuch as payment of this policy occurs only when the insured has died. But how many of people would buy death insurance? Continuing to read. But those who attend our celebration of the revelation on Mount Sinai are truly acquiring life insurance, a guarantee that they will survive for the next 3 or 4 months, or maybe 5, or maybe until the next Passover. For the present, this small taste of immortality is a pleasure to offer. Just as before a large meal, one is offered a sample of the chef's talents in order to whet the appetite. In the 30 years that the center has been operating and providing the Kabbalistic revelation experience, there has not been a single death among those who have attended in the four-month period immediately following the revelation experience. This is what the Master had originally foreseen when he shared his vision of mini immortality. Little did Rabbi Berg and his wife know where that humble beginning would take us. Today, thousands of people around the globe are reaping the benefits of the Master's prophecy. As a personal experience, during the 1990s, when I was studying at the Kabbalah Center, I attended 7 or 8 or 9 or more of these events that the Kabbalah Center would host. And there was one very frail, elderly man who was in a wheelchair, wheeled in by his children, brought to sit in front of the dais to hear every word. And during the night, the gentleman fell asleep. And there was no chaos in his life until early in September, just before Rosh Hashanah. Because if we calculated the time he fell asleep, it was approximately the time that the event happened in his life. He did not die. He just had a medical event that created nervousness and tension and fear in his family, which was really a test for everyone who was there. Would you believe that it works? Would you realize that it works? Or would you fall to the test and say, well, maybe it didn't work, because this man who went, and most people didn't know he had fallen asleep. I was gifted because I walked around the room in order to stay awake, and I saw that he had fallen asleep, even when his children had not. So no one tried to wake him up. I've seen the event, I've seen the result, but of course, this is my truth. You have to experience these truths for yourself. This idea that the mini immortality was a virtual reality spread like wildfire. The notion that a time travel machine was available has even intrigued scientists. While the center's findings could not be verified by conventional scientific methods, this did not and does not deter students from around the world from attending the Mount Sinai Revelation experience. To achieve immortality, albeit for 4 or 5 months only, required traveling back in time. Although the time machine has thus far been a part of science fiction only, and not of science, scientists have explained that if such a thing as a time machine ever existed, it would be as if time slowed down in actuality. While the years would go by in real time, we would not age. When we achieve permanent immortality, the close stops the aging process stops altogether for all time. Although the rational mind cannot grasp the concept of time slowing down or stopping permanently, the fact has already been established. The controversy that has surrounded our claims in this regard may be compared to the 19th century debate over air travel. Some claim that heavier-than-air machines would never remain aloft, yet pioneers persisted until airplanes become a reality. Time travel simply means that one can travel faster than the speed of light. Albert Einstein claimed that it was impossible to travel faster than the speed of light, because if one could, then there would be no past, there would be no present, and there would be no future. Everything would be in the here and now, the present that would never change. Time would stop. There would be no aging. Einstein never proved that one cannot travel faster than the speed of light. He merely reasoned that such a phenomena could not exist. If it did, people could travel back in time. They would go back and stop upon reaching their vigorous youth. In fact, in modern physics, there are experiments that seem to contradict what Albert Einstein said. These experiments seem to show that particles, subatomic particles, travel faster than the speed of light. In fact, there's a property in electrons called spin. And there is always an equal and opposite result. There's an electron that has a positive spin and another electron that has a negative spin. Yet if you reverse the spin of the positive so that it is becoming negative, the negative electron separated by thousands of miles, separated by being across the galaxy, changes so that it is no longer negative but positive, instantaneously with the change in the positive electron spin. These are not yet explained by science, but Kabbalah has always known this truth. Time travel simply means that one can travel faster than the speed of light. Albert Einstein claimed that it was impossible to travel faster than the speed of light, because if one could, excuse me, I've already read this paragraph. I'm continuing to read. Einstein did not believe in time travel simply because he did not see the theory in practice. He could not accept the theory of immortality because he could not personally witness this reality. Today, science has confirmed that particles exist that can travel faster and farther than the speed of light. Science is finally catching up with Kabbalah. Yet one of the obstacles that science must deal with is their uncertainty principle. How aptly titled. It demonstrated how far physics remains behind Kabbalah. For as we know, one of the prime causes of chaos is that the Satan has infused human consciousness with the principle of uncertainty. We must choose to change all this. To achieve temporary or permanent immortality requires certainty that the revelation on Mount Sinai will accomplish this long sought after reality. There is nothing to reality aside from consciousness. If in our minds we have doubts whether the revelation on Mount Sinai created immortality, then all Kabbalistic meditations and connections will not serve us in achieving immortality. This act of traveling back in time was detailed in the Zohar on the night of the Kabbalistic revelation experience. All those who participate are provided with the methodology that assists them in connecting with the cosmos. It is this vital connection that embraces and perpetuates the energy of the mini immortality. My commentary. The Kabbalistic technology is the 24 crown jewels from the Torah. If you do not yet know what this is, join a Kabbalistic study during the night of Shavuot. Our time is up for this class. This handout is only half done. We will continue tomorrow evening in our 7 o'clock class, which is normally a Rabbi Ashlag essay. But we are preparing for our all-night study. So I hope you will join us tomorrow night at 7 o'clock for the completion of this class, as well as today at 3 p.m. for our continuation of our Lashon Hara classes, learning how to speak properly and positively. And at 8:30 tonight, we will count the Omer. Monday, we will have a mini Zohar class at 4:30. We will continue this class at 7 o'clock, and we will count the Omer at 8:30. Tuesday, we will have a mini Zohar class at 4:30. We will have further preparation for immortality at 7 o'clock. There is no counting of the Omer Tuesday night. We will start our all-night study at 10 p.m. West Coast time. I hope you will join us. It is the only way you can have immortality, even for a short period of time. Wednesday, at 4:30, there will be a mini Zohar class for those who wish to break the holiday, the second day of the holiday. And at 7 o'clock Wednesday night, we will have questions and answers. There is no counting of the Omer Wednesday. Thursday at 4:30, we will have an advanced reincarnation class, continuing our study of reincarnation. And at 7 o'clock, we will have a Zohar class for the Parasha of Naso. I hope you will all join us. Does anyone have any questions? Shalom to all. Have a beautiful evening, a good week, a week filled with peace and serenity. Shalom. Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov. Thank you.
Shavua Tov.
Thank you. Shavua Tov.